TUC Radio, Time of Useful Consciousness.
The origin of COVID. Did people or nature open Pandora's box at Wuhan? Nicholas Wade is a science writer, editor, and author. He has worked on the staff of Nature, Science, and for many years, the New York Times. His May 5, 2021 article in the Bulletin of the Atomic Scientists, asking whether people or nature opened Pandora's box, generated huge interest and follow-on interviews. Nicholas Wade wrote in his introduction, "As many people know, there are two main theories about COVID's origin. One is that it jumped naturally from wildlife to people. The other is that the virus was under study in a lab from which it escaped. It matters a great deal which is the case, if we hope to prevent a second such occurrence. I describe the two theories, explain why each is plausible, and then ask which provides the better explanation of the available facts." End quote from Nicholas Wade. In the interview you are about to hear, Nicholas Wade covers intriguing questions regarding the remaining mystery of who the original host animal was and which intermediate animal introduced it to humans. Also, how Donald Trump naming it without evidence, the China virus, made scientists and some media want to support the theory of a natural origin in order to stem the tide of racism. And to make it even more complex, the thorny issue that the Wuhan lab at the time in question received funding for coronavirus research from U.S. taxpayers via a grant from the National Institutes of Health, administered by the Equal Health Alliance. Here's an interview streamed live on May 31st, 2021, on the video channel of the Hindustan Times. That's an Indian English language daily newspaper. The British science author and journalist Aditi Prasad spoke with Nicholas Wade.
The mystery around the origin of the virus has remained far from resolved. The virus was first reported in the Chinese city of Wuhan, and since then China has been chided for its lack of transparency, but any attempt to lay the blame at China's doors for the possible leak of the virus from the Wuhan lab has been quickly brushed aside as a conspiracy theory. Now, joining me today is Nicholas Wade, a noted science writer and author who puts forward scientific arguments and not conspiracy theories to contend that the virus could have indeed originated in the Wuhan Institute of Virology. Good evening, Mr. Wade, and welcome to the show.
Good evening, Aditi.
So you've written a very powerful piece, Mr. Wade, saying that the theory that the COVID virus escaped from a lab in Wuhan may not be far-fetched. Now, this is in stark contrast to what we have been given to understand so far about the virus, that it emerged from a wet market in Wuhan, China. Tell us why you think it is possibly a man-made virus.
Well, there are two possibilities on the table, and both of them are quite plausible. So the first is that it came naturally from an animal, probably a bat, to humans. And that's plausible because we've already had two epidemics that came from these bats in China, the SARS-1 of 2002 and the MERS of 2012. But the other explanation, which is also plausible, is that the virus came from the lab in Wuhan, which happens to be China's leading center of research on coronaviruses. And where did the pandemic start? Right in the city of Wuhan. So it's an obvious possibility that certainly cannot be dismissed out of hand that the virus may have escaped from research being done at the lab. So we have these two possibilities. It's important to note there's no direct evidence for either. But if we look at the available evidence and say, well, which of these two theories explains the evidence better? In my view, the lab escape theory explains all the evidence very easily and is therefore the more probable.
Okay, so you're saying that the lab escape is more probable. Why do you feel that a lab escape theory, and again, when you say a lab escape, you're referring to it as an accident probably by the Chinese scientists who were working on that virus there inside the lab. So let's break it down, sir, for the benefit of our viewers. Why do you feel that the lab escape theory is more plausible than the natural evolution?
Well, the first piece of evidence we should look at is simply the one of geography. So for the natural emergence theory to be true, you have to have the pandemic breaking out somewhere outside Wuhan. And for the infected person or family to jump on a train to Wuhan, maybe, without infecting anyone in their a local town or family, without infecting anyone on the train until they get to Wuhan, and there the epidemic breaks out. Well, if that had happened, it should be possible for us to see many traces of the pandemic outside of Wuhan before it got to Wuhan. On the lab escape theory, well, it's easy. As we have just said, the leading lab for coronavirus research is right there in the center of Wuhan, and that's where the epidemic broke out. So that's the first piece of evidence, which I think is very indicative. The second is that right from the start, this virus was very well adapted to human cells. So this is peculiar because if you look at the SARS-1 epidemic, we could see the virus taking a long time to perfect its powers as a pathogen. It gathered mutations. This is the way evolution works, one by one, until it got stronger and stronger. And after it had got about 30 mutations, then it was a really good human pathogen. If you go to the SARS-2 expecting the same process, there's nothing. Right from the start, the virus is very well adapted to attack human cells. So this is hard to explain on the natural emergence theory. On lab escape, it's easy. We know that Dr. Zhengli Shi, the chief Chinese scientist, was growing her viruses in what is called humanized mice. So these are mice that are genetically engineered to carry human-type cells in their airways. So if she was training the viruses on these human-type cells, of course, they would be immediately able to attack humans.
And I will come to that a little later, you know, the fact that it, you know, how it immediately attacked humans instead of evolving over a period of time to be able to attack humans at such an intense breakneck speed. But, you know, let's talk about what you said earlier. I didn't want to interrupt you. The fact about the fingerprint of the virus. Now, the intermediary host of that virus has not been identified as yet by China, by WHO, or by anybody else. Now, for our viewers, let me just explain that the natural origin of the virus argument, it basically supposes that the virus jumped from bats to an intermediary host, which is possibly another animal, and then to humans. Presumably, after months of intensive research, Chinese researchers have failed to find either the original bat population or the intermediate species to which SARS-2 might have jumped, or any evidence to suggest that China had been exposed to the virus before December 2019. Would you like to explain, sir, to our viewers, what is the significance of this fingerprint not being available till now?
Well, I think it's very significant because in the case of SARS-1, we had found the intermediate host animal within 3 months. And in the case of MERS, I think it was within 7 months. So now we've gone some 15 months and there is not a trace of SARS-CoV-2 in the environment. You know, this became evident in February when the World Health Organization sent an inquiry group to Beijing. Now, this seemed at first to be a propaganda victory for the Chinese version of events because the committee said, oh, lab escape is very unlikely. We're not going to spend much time on that. Natural emergence is much more likely explanation. And yet what was clear was that the Chinese did not have a shred of evidence to offer to the commission that there had been a natural emergence of the virus. As you've just said, the Chinese could not find the intermediate host animal. They could not find any human population in which the virus might have gathered strength, and they could not find the bat population from which the virus originally came. So as each month goes by with no evidence at all for natural emergence, however plausible that theory seemed to begin with, it becomes less and less plausible each passing month.
And, you know, you talked about in some detail, you've tested the hypothesis of natural origin versus lab escape of the virus. You know, you talked about the place of origin, you talked about natural history and evolution, the furin cleavage site. I think that might be, you know, I'd like to keep this non-jargon, this discussion, and therefore I will not go into the details of that. You sort of listed out in your article a number of things, but so far, none of the scientists or publication, you know, it's been 15, 16 months now, including the WHO team, which has traveled to Wuhan earlier this year, has given any credits or much credits. Let me say they did give credits, but they didn't investigate that angle at all to the theory that the virus was the result of a lab leak. Are you saying that they probably, all of them have got it wrong?
Yes, well, I'm afraid this is a convenient silence that the scientists have fallen into. You know, right from the beginning, the narrative was seized by two small groups of virologists who published letters in leading scientific journals saying lab escape was just a conspiracy. Of course, this was natural emergence. So these virologists had a deep self-interest in saying this because they didn't want the public to think that this terrible virus had escaped because of their research. And this applies to virologists all around the world who are doing these experiments. So all the other virologists just kept silent after these two letters had appeared. And the mainstream press failed to do their job and to probe into these letters and ask how likely the arguments were. And so the mindset grew in all the Western world that natural emergence was the most probable case and that anyone who suggested lab leak was just a conspiracy theorist. And this, of course, was made much worse when President Trump said, without producing any evidence, that the virus had definitely come from the Wuhan lab. So this was very unfortunate because it polarized the debate. It got everyone talking about the politics and not the science. And we just settled into this mindset on the basis of almost no information that natural emergence was the answer. It's only if you look very carefully at the science and exclude all the politics, if you look just at the science, you see the picture I've tried to present to you, that you have these two theories and lab escape happens on precedent evidence to explain everything much better. I don't know why we got into the wrong perception of this, but it has to do with a widespread failure of Western media to dig hard and to challenge scientists when they pretend to be experts and tell someone it's the truth without realizing that scientists are just like anyone else. They are an interest group. There are various interests that they have that are not necessarily in the public interest. So journalists need to understand that. They understand it with most other professions, certainly politicians. They don't seem to understand it with scientists. And this was one reason for the failure of Western journalists to look seriously into the possibility of lab escape.
Okay, after your paper came out now, sir, 18 top global scientists have also lent voice to the theory that the lab leak theory is possible. The US infectious diseases expert, Dr. Fauci, has also said that he's not convinced about the natural origin theory. And he says that we should investigate what went on in China until we find out to the best of our abilities what exactly happened. Do you feel vindicated now that the US has sort of called for a transparent second phase of investigation into the origins of the novel coronavirus SARS-CoV-2?
Well, I'm delighted that there has at last been a shift of public opinion. I'm amazed that the shift has taken place so very quickly. I'm certainly delighted if my article contributed to it. I think one should realize that the stage was set, as we've just mentioned, by the WHO commission to Beijing, and everyone sort of realizing that the Chinese had no evidence to offer in support of natural emergence. Then my article came out, and a few days later, there was that letter from the leading scientists in science on the 14th of May that you referred to. So these events, I think, were at the pivot of the change of attitude. And then, of course, President Biden has asked his intelligence community to look again at the issue. And I think people all around the world are reappraising this issue and starting to look very seriously at lab escape, which I hope will, for the first time, will put pressure on the Chinese government to stop stonewalling and to provide the information that will help the rest of the world and China itself make sure that such an event never happens again.
I'm going to come to you in a bit about your views on what should happen if this is proven, but that this was indeed a lab leak. But let me ask you a very basic question, which may appear very naive, but it's important to give perspective to our viewers. Why would anyone want to create a novel virus in a laboratory, and especially one as dangerous as this one, that is capable of actually unleashing a pandemic, killing millions of people across the world?
Well, of course, this is a very important question, and it has a surprising answer, which is, this is something that virologists are doing all the time, all around the world. And people may think it's crazy dangerous, and in some ways it certainly is, but their rationale is that, well, we have these natural epidemics crossing from animals to people all the time. And if we in our labs can take these animal viruses and explore the one or two changes that nature needs to make for them to become epidemic pathogens, then we can predict the next epidemic and maybe help forestall it. So that is the rationale under which virologists, and particularly Dr. Shi at the Wuhan Institute, have been taking these bat coronaviruses, and they've been taking the spike proteins. Those are the things that jut out from the surface of the virus and determine which animal or human target it can see. She's been taking the spike proteins from one virus and inserting them into the genome of another to create a novel hybrid virus. So this is part of routine research if you do it right and if you do it safely. But unfortunately, it may be that she did create a novel virus that was far more infectious than she expected. And she was working in very low-level safety conditions. So if she had created the SARS-CoV-2 virus, it would be no surprise if it escaped from her lab. Her lab was at the level, there are four levels of safety. And her lab was at the level called BSL-2, which is very low. It's about the same safety standards you'll find in a dentist's office. She was not vaccinated against this virus because she tried to make vaccines and failed. So if the virus had infected her lab workers and had then escaped from the lab infected lab workers into the general population, that would not be surprising at all.
How sure that all this was going on at the Wuhan Institute of Virology? China is not really sharing a lot of information on what exactly was going on there.
Oh, no, that's right. It's closed down all access to her data. We don't know what virus she was working on. We don't know what experiment she was doing. The China has a large database of coronavirus information. All that was locked down as far back as September 2019. There's a complete wall of silence, and the Chinese are just refusing to cooperate.
Right, but so how can you be so sure that this is what exactly was going on when you said that she was probably working on it there?
Okay, so we know what was going on to some extent because she had a research grant from the US National Institutes of Health. that gives money to virology researchers all over the world. And we can tell from the abstract of the grant that the purpose of her research was to estimate the strength of various of the new coronaviruses she'd been collecting. She was estimating their ability to infect human cells. Mm-hmm. So we know that she was transferring spike proteins from one coronavirus to another. We know that she was testing them on human cells grown in the lab and on these humanized mice. Mm-hmm. So she had everything in place to create new coronaviruses, including the possibility that she did indeed create SARS-CoV-2.
Oh, okay. You know, the Chinese, as you pointed out, have now, of course, completely clamped down on any information emanating from the region or what was going on in the lab, the documents, the research. We don't have access to it, as you're pointing out. So, you know, in the case of the U.S., you know that we just talked about it. The U.S. is asking for a transparent and I'm putting quotes there, a transparent second phase of investigation into the origins of the virus there. How easy or difficult do you think it's going to be in the absence of any access to the Wuhan Institute of Virology or to the documents of the research that had been taking place there?
It will be very difficult to get direct proof. There are a lot of unexplored avenues, and if scientists around the world now sort of really focus on the quite substantial information we have about Dr. Xi's research, they may be able to make a much stronger case than we have already. So that's one possibility. But the other possibility is that the Chinese government will change its mind. After all, up to now, it's had no pressure to release information because the mainstream media throughout the world has assumed the same as the Chinese are saying, that this virus arose by natural emergence. But now I think for the first time, China is going to face pressure from countries all around the world as their intelligence communities, as their scientific groups look at the evidence and say, on balance, it looks like the virus escaped from the lab. I think this kind of pressure coming from all around the world may give the Chinese government a rather unpleasant choice. Either they accept the fact they're going to be a pariah around the world for the foreseeable future for having unleashed this terrible epidemic on their own people and on the rest of the world, or they decide to change course and that the better idea would be to open their lab to prove that the virus did not come from there, if they can, and to cooperate with the rest of the world in making sure the epidemic never happens again. So if that happens, I'm not saying it's very likely, but I think it's possible. If that happens, then we would get the evidence we need to prove this was or was not a virus that escaped from the lab.
Right, you know, but so far what we've seen of the Chinese response to these calls for a transparent investigation and of more and more for the clamor growing for a you know, transparent probe into the origins of the virus, the Chinese have been as they have been over the past 15 months, blocking it. They're saying that the calls for these probes are really tactics to divert attention. They don't say divert attention from what, but they are saying that tactics to divert attention. Your response to that, to the stonewalling, which is happening from the Chinese side, because if they don't allow you access, then you really don't know the origins of the virus. We'll never probably know what happened.
Well, that's right. If they continue to stonewall, we will continue not to know. But it's a rather different state of not knowing if, in fact, all the rest of the world believes the virus probably did come from a lab. I think that has to enter into China's calculations at some point. They're changing from having the rest of the world just assume that this terrible plague visited on them came from natural origins, to having the rest of the world thinking it was an accident in a Chinese lab that the Chinese government covered up and just didn't care what happened to the rest of the world. I think that would be an unfortunate situation for China to find itself in. I'm a science writer, I'm not an expert on foreign affairs, but I'm just assuming that if there is this change of mind about the basic scientific facts, that will be mirrored in a change of attitude at the diplomatic level.
Right. Just one last question before you go, and something that I've not been able to wrap my head around, and stemming from what you just said. If this was an accident, then why would the Chinese go about covering it up for so long? I mean, why not just admit that, okay, guys, we made a mistake, it was an accident? Because now, in the absence of them, with them stonewalling, in the absence of actual access to what actually happened, a lot of theories and conjectures are being made that this was a deliberate leak, instead of, as you're calling it, an escape from the Wuhan lab of the virus, or an accident. Instead of an accident, many are now calling it a deliberate leak, because that is the blowback of China not being transparent about this, isn't it?
There's no evidence that it was deliberate leak, but I think many people in Beijing are probably now wishing that they had done exactly what you say, that right from the beginning, they'd said, this is a terrible accident, we're sorry it happened in our territory. This research was, after all, funded by the US government, maybe both sides share blame. Let's work together and clean this mess up. If they had said that right at the beginning, they would be in a much better position than they are now. But I think we have to except the fact that this is an authoritarian government, and the knee-jerk reflex of authoritarian governments is to cover things up. In fact, even with SARS-1, which we know was natural, the Chinese government tried to cover things up for a time. Now, this cover-up is different. It's much more deliberate and widespread. So I think it does show the Chinese have something to hide. But this is the natural way governments of this kind react. So it's unfortunate, as you say, that they missed the chance to be transparent and open right from the beginning.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us, Mr. Wade. We'll come back to you with more questions as and when, you know, more details are revealed about the origin of the COVID virus to get your expert insights. But thank you, viewers, for joining us for this broadcast.
That was the British science author and journalist Aditi Prasad, signing off from a May 31st, 2021 interview on the Hindustan Times with Nicholas Wade. He's a science writer, editor, and author who has worked on the staff of Nature, Science, and for many years, the New York Times. His May 5, 2021 article in the Bulletin of the Atomic Scientists led with a question: did people or nature open Pandora's box at Wuhan? The article generated huge interest as well as personal attacks. You can hear this program again for free on TUC Radio's website, tucradio.org. Look at the newest programs or the podcast page. While you're there, you can subscribe to weekly free podcasts. Our email address is tuc@tucradio.org. My name is Maria Gelarden. Thank you for listening.